Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. I want to just say on the onset that for our podcast listeners, please go to my website, www.pastorvic.com, to download the audio and, more importantly, the transcripts and notes of this message. In the last few posts or episodes, we've been talking about finding your purpose in God and using Jesus' life as a pattern for finding our purpose. You know, if you look at the life of Jesus, what you'll see is that Jesus first told us what to do, then he showed us how to do it, and then he sends us out to do it. And therefore, his life is meant to be a pattern for us in terms of finding out who we are in Christ, as well as fulfilling the purpose and the destiny that he has for us. Now, as I said in my last post, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the scriptures clearly state that heaven was opened and the Spirit came down like a dove. Now, what's important to realize is that heaven was opened because the Holy Spirit came down. You see, it's because of the Holy Spirit that the heaven is open. In Jesus' case, the Holy Spirit came down upon him. In our case, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. This means that we live under an open heaven, just as Jesus did. And by the phrase open heaven, I mean that we have access to the Lord and communication between us is available. Now, unfortunately, many Christians live under the impression that heaven is closed. But nothing could be further from the truth. We may be unaware that heaven is open, but the truth is heaven is available to us because of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. There's a direct connection between the Lord in heaven and the Holy Spirit living in us, for they are one. Now, Jesus makes this open heaven clear when he encountered Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 51. And he says the following. He's speaking to Nathanael, who's questioning who Jesus is. But then Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, the word angel in this case means a messenger, which is further proves that communications were open between the Father and Jesus. In the same way, communication is open between the Father and the believer, between the Father and you. Because heaven was open, Jesus could hear and see what the Father was doing. And that's available to us as well. Listen to John 5:19. "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, he does likewise.'" The Son does in like manner. And then in John 8:28, "Then Jesus said to them, 'When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things.'" And then in John 12:49, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whenever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Think about it. Even in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, how do we know what is done in heaven unless it's revealed to us through his word, through the word of God, and through the prompting and the leading of the Holy Spirit? You know, now we're ready to take a look at the second event that Jesus encountered before entering his ministry and fulfilling his purpose. And that's the reception of the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went from his baptism where he was filled. Clearly the word says that. And to be filled simply means that he's easily led by the Spirit. And anyway, it says he was filled with the Spirit and he went into the wilderness where he received the Holy Spirit's power and authority. Now, the question is, what happened in the wilderness that was so key to Jesus' preparation for starting his ministry. Heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. But now Jesus had to show that he was totally committed to doing the Father's will. The three temptations in the wilderness are the universal temptations that all of humanity has to resist. Jesus showed us how to resist the devil by standing upon the Word of God. 1 John 2:16 describes these temptations the best. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Three things. The lust of the flesh. Lust in this sense means to have a desire for something that is forbidden. The lust of the flesh then is a desire for forbidden physical pleasure. The lust of the eyes is a forbidden desire for those things that appeal to our sight or to our mind. The pride of life is that arrogant desire for money, power, and influence. Now, I've heard these three temptations described as the three G's. Guys or girls, glitter, and gold. Guys and girls, obviously we're talking about sexual lust. Glitter, talking about the attraction of the things of the world. And gold has to do with power and authority and influence. Now, what's interesting is that these three temptations were there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were tempted. In Genesis 3:16, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, physical pleasure, that it was pleasant to the eyes, appealing to the eyes and the mind, and a tree desirable to make one wise, there's the pride of life. She took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. Now, let's take a look at Jesus' temptations by Satan in the wilderness, and I'm using the account from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, that was where he was baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You see, he had to be filled before he could be led. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Now, I want to remind you to notice that each time Satan attacks Jesus, Jesus responds with the truth of Scripture. And the first temptation is the lust of the flesh, because Jesus was hungry. Verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus responds, and saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You see, he used the Scriptures. He was well versed in the Scriptures. He was confident in the Word. And that Scripture actually is from Deuteronomy 8:3. Then there's a second temptation, the lust of the eyes. Verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And then Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. You see, he went to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 13, and then chapter 10, verse 10. It's so easy to be caught up in the trappings of the world and begin to worship the creation rather than worshiping the Creator. And then the third temptation, the pride of life, beginning in verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. And here's where even Satan uses Scripture. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's actually from Psalms 9, verses 11 and 12. Now, Satan may be able to use scripture, but he uses it to try and create doubt in your mind. He abuses the scripture, never giving the full intent of it. But listen to Jesus' answer in verse 12. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." That's Deuteronomy 6:16. Then verse 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And I believe that opportune time would come some years later in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Jesus didn't lose sight of who he was as a son. He was called to serve his Father. He was sealed by the Holy Spirit, and heaven was open to him. The Mark chapter 1, verse 12 account of the temptations states that the angels of the Lord ministered to Jesus while he was in the wilderness. In other words, Jesus was not cut off from the Father. There was communication. Then, in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. When he left the wilderness, he came returning in the power of the Spirit. And news of him went throughout all the surrounding regions. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. The signs of the Spirit's power was in the preaching and the teaching the truths of the kingdom, and in the notable signs and wonders that he performed. Just as a little bit of aside, in the Gospel of John, if you read through the Gospel of John, you'll find that there are seven supernatural miracles that are attributed to Jesus. The first one is the turning of water into wine in Cana, which is John 2, verses 1 through 11. The next one is the healing of the official son in Capernaum, which is John 4, verses 46 to 54. Then there's the healing of the invalid at the Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, John 5, 1 through 18. Then, of course, there's the feeding of the 5,000 near the Sea of Galilee, John 6, verses 5 through 14. Then there's Jesus walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee, John 6, verses 16 through 21. Then there's the healing of the blind man in Jerusalem, John 9, 1 through 7. And then finally, in the book of John, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. That's chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Now, Jesus performed tremendous miracles, but he did it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As believers, you and I have power and authority available to us. Acts 1:8 makes it very clear. Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." That's a promise. That's not an idle statement, but that is a promise. But we need to remember that we need to stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. Matter of fact, Timothy has to be reminded of this by the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy 1 through 5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." See, he had been sealed by the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." I believe that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, able to make good decisions." Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, which was the seal of the Father at his baptism. Jesus then received the power and authority of the Holy Spirit during his wilderness experience and temptations. Now Jesus was ready to receive his mission statement, or the assignment, or the purpose for which he was called. Jesus gave us the pattern of his life as the path of discipleship. As a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord has placed the seal upon you, which is the Holy Spirit, which shows that you are his. The seal of the Holy Spirit means that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. This in turn means that you can be led or directed by the Spirit if you choose. And you'll be led to, you'll be directed by the Holy Spirit to do the Father's will. The release of power and authority comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This means you have received the power and the authority. We like to call that the anointing to fulfill the Lord's mission or the purpose for your life. And we're going to be talking about what we can glean, what we can learn from the mission that Jesus was given so that we could apply that same principle to our own lives. Remember, He is the pattern to whom we follow. Finally, let me just close by reminding you that if you're listening to this as an audio, you can get the notes or the message in Microsoft Word format. Simply go to downloads on www.pastorvic.com. Look forward to seeing you the next time. God bless you and stir up the gift that is within you. You are anointed by God to do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God. Amen.